You get the point I'm making? Listen, the problem has always been the people of God. And amongst the people of God, that's the next point, the problem has always been their prophets and their teachers. That's not the main thing I'm teaching, but please bear it in mind. What am I bringing out here? When Eli, even though he had a promise, he did not instruct his children on how to honor God and honor the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, and the word of God, the promise over their lives, all right, that promise was withdrawn and given to somebody else. And let me tell you, God still does that till today. He said he came unto his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. That is, Jesus came unto his own, they did not take him, God gave him to somebody else. The prophecy, the word of God is true, always true, but it requires people to do what is necessary for its fulfillment. There's a mistake people make when you make statements like that. Let us assume now, somebody said that, in Jesus' name, you will prosper. And that is a prophetic word in that situation. So people now say, what is necessary now? Go and start looking for business to do so you can make money. That was not what that prophecy was saying. Yes, you will prosper. You have more money than you require in life to do the will of God. Amen? But that prophecy wasn't saying that I need you to go and start scheming to fulfill me. He was saying that go and learn honesty. Go and learn love, brotherly love. Go and learn kindness. Once you have learned it, the word will become flesh in your life. The way by which that word will fulfill itself, you just watch, you'll be observing. At the end of the day, all you will say is that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken. That's what that will happen. Meanwhile, what do you do? He said to Abraham, you teach your children righteousness and justice. Teach them how to fulfill it. Then that word I gave you will automatically be fulfilled in their lives. So when Peter was going to speak about this, he said, we have promises. He said, we have great and magnificent promises. For that reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Are you seeing that? Because without that, the promises are not going to show. They're not going to manifest. He said, for that reason, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance in the face of trouble. To perseverance, add godliness. No matter how tight things are, don't say, you know, Nigeria is tough. We have to move things around like this. You know, everybody does it. He said, to perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. Even though things are tough, you are trying to be nice and obey the law. So the money you have is little. Still take out of it and be a blessing to somebody else. And to brotherly kindness, add love. He said, if you do all of these things, let me paraphrase and summarize it. If you do all these things, the promise of God will be fulfilled in your life. Are you seeing that? Listen, this is how it works. People think, you know, I've seen it a lot. I'm sure those of us who are in scripture, you know, we don't see much of things like that. But if you go to some churches, you see all kinds of things. People who come to church who don't believe in God. They only believe in promises. Yes. What I mean is this. Well, listen, let me... One of the problems why, you know, you've heard it said that they said Nigerians go to church a lot, but the nation is not changed. I said going to church is not what changes the nation. It is learning these qualities that is what changes the nation. It is learning righteousness and justice. That's what changes a nation. It is not we go to church and every time, listen to this, every time what we hear are promises. Let me end, all right, by giving, because I said that I preached this same message in my series in my office before, and I titled one of them, Following God Fully. Let me explain that, and I'll close for this morning. I'm watching my time closely. The problem why, you know, people say things like this. If I listen to one of my pastors those days, and I listened to him recently, he said one of the problems he had is that he hated to see people who were good Christian folk, you understand? And after serving God for many years, they had nothing to show for it. What he meant is this, because he's a pastor. His parents are well-educated people. His father is a doctor. His mother is a professor. And so they used to, you know, maybe sit down and say, that one say he's a Christian. And after having been a good Christian for maybe 30 years, now let me say this quickly so that we'll get things in proper perspective. Some things are not persecution. For an old man to be begging to pay his children's fees is not persecution. It's affliction. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. Yes. Okay, let me give an example. When I was in university, the impression we were given initially was that good Christians don't do excellently in academics because they are busy praying, reading their Bibles, and preaching. So they don't do well. And it's understandable. Before I left school, I realized it was a fat lie. Just that lazy people pretend to be Christians. Yes, it's very common. Men who have two, you know, something they buy them for bomb bomb all the time. They can't sit down. So they go and pray. I don't know what I heard what I said. This idea of sitting down, students are supposed to sit down. So they can't. So they now go. Because they can't sit down, they're walking up and you think they are praying. They're not praying. They have a problem with sitting down. It's a spiritual problem. They are restless. That's what I'm trying to explain. So you see, that guy prays a lot. He doesn't pray a lot. He moves around a lot. He babbles, twinkle, twinkle, little star, a lot. But since you don't know what he's saying, and he's telling you he's praying in tongues, so you don't even know whether he's deceiving himself. But after a long time, you join him to the group of unsuccessful Christians, and you take it as a sign of righteousness. No, it is not a sign of righteousness. Taking that student one as an example, as if we read the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did we learn about them? When they tested them, because of their devotion to God, they were found to be 10 times better. That was a sign, a manifestation of their devotion to God. That was a sign. Can you increase the volume of this one, please? Okay. That was a sign of their devotion to God. Now, please, I'm bringing an issue here. So my pastor there used to say that he hated the idea that Christians will be Christians a very long time and they have nothing to show. Listen, I perfectly understand that material things are not a sign of godliness. They are not. Whether we like it or not, this world is not our home. That's a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, the real treasures of life, they are laid up in heaven. That's a matter of fact. Now, however, when God was going to bless Abraham, he made it clear that Abraham would be great. When he was going to bless people, he made it clear. In fact, he said, God is able to make all grace, Paul was speaking, abound towards you, so that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. Please, I'm going somewhere. Now, so what is the reason why it will appear as if somebody is a good Christian, but is a failure in life, and is not, we're not talking righteousness now. Or we find out a lot of people, they are bad people, but they come to church. How do we tie all of these things together? That's what I'm going to explain. Before I explain, let me just say this. The issue is that for you to receive the enduring blessings from the hand of God, you must put everything together. This is the word that is used in, let's read this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I just want to read something. Numbers 32. This was when they went to Kadesh Barnea. That is a commentary that was passed about it. You know, when God was speaking, he was angry. He said, that was Moses quoting. He said, the Lord, verse 10, the Lord's anger was aroused on that day. And he swore an oath saying, Numbers 32, I'm in verse 10 now, 11 now. He swore an oath saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not fully or wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they have wholly or fully followed the Lord. Please notice that expression. Now, because of time, we won't read it now. But if you go to Joshua chapter 14, Joshua says things there. That you see, I fully followed the Lord. He said that to Caleb was speaking. He said that to Joshua severally, that he followed God fully. Do you understand? Now, please, there's a reason why I read this. Let me now explain it. I was saying, people come to church and they follow promises, 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 promises. But there's no fulfillment. One of the reasons why people go to church a lot these days, people say in Nigeria, a lot of people are going to church, there's a mighty revival going on. Have you heard that thing before? That is a mighty revival in Nigeria. I believe there's a mighty revival in Nigeria. I believe it. But it's not what people are counting. Yes. Again, I can prove that. The Bible says that when God said to Elijah to go to Mount Horeb, when he ran there to the mountain of God, he saw fire burning. And the Bible says, and the Lord was not there. He saw the earth quaking. And the Bible said clearly, and the Lord was not there. So you can see 1 million people gather. It's no proof that the Lord is there. Normally things are so glaring and obvious and shaking. They are not often the sign of where God is. And the true prophet of God, Elijah, looked closely and said, this is a sign that God is coming, but that's not where he is. So when he saw the earth quaking, he moved away. He said, earth, when you finish quaking, you stop quaking and waiting for the Lord. When he saw fire burning, he said, the Lord is not in the fire. Then finally, there was a place where everything was still and quiet. He waited there and knew God had come. So when they say that, there's so many people going to church in Nigeria, it shows there's a revival. And yes, there's a revival. But the volume of people going to church generally is a sign of poverty. They are going to have their problems solved. So the easiest way, if you're a pastor, to grow a church with a very large number, wake up every day and be pronouncing solution. This year, you will become a millionaire. Amen. All your sickness will disappear. Amen. You will never have problems again. Amen. All your enemies will die. Amen. Every week, you're going to double the number. Why? Poor people, sick people. That is, if you start preaching righteousness, the increase will slow down. Just sustain the declaration of promises. Even though you're a true prophet of God, you don't even have to be false to yourself. They will keep coming. There's only one problem. They will not see the thing they have come for. Why? Because you are only declaring the promises of God. And Peter said, when you see the promises, it's supposed to encourage you to add to your faith virtue. You are getting my point. In fact, let me quickly read something. Because of time, don't open to it. I'll get ready for you. What Paul said about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I won't read all of it because of time, but I want to get it in context. In that chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, if you read verse 17, or from verse 16, he talked about God's promises. I will dwell in them, walk among them, be their God, and they will be my people. In 17, he says, therefore, come out of them and be separate, and I will receive you. In verse 18, he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Paul now said, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is, when you see those promises, you go and prepare for their fulfillment by perfecting holiness, by cleansing yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. Now, what do I call fully following God? Now, I'll just summarize it because of my time. I studied Psalm 119. And something was clear to me reading through Psalm 119. You will see the word of God, different expressions were used to describe the word of God. He will use the word, thy word. That word, thy word, actually means thy promises. You say, quicken me according to thy word. My soul clings to the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. Then he will tell you that, I have given attention to thy precepts. Then he will tell you that, I have taken heed to thy commandments. I came therefore to identify about 5 words in there that he used to describe the word of God, or parts of the word of God. The word of God has promises. The word of God has precepts. What are precepts? The precepts are the principles of the word of God, or the principles of life as ordained by God. For example, there was no commandment really that made it clear to David that he should not kill Saul. But he understood a principle, so he didn't touch Saul. There are principles. There are promises. There are principles. And principles are called precepts. Then there are commandments. There are commandments. Commandments are express. You know, commandments. Let me put it like that. Thou shalt not. Honor thy father and thy mother. You understand my point? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That, things that are clear. Like he'll give you another one. Rejoice. Because sometimes we lose the thou shalt not alone. But there is rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. It's a commandment. You must never wake up in the morning, come out of your house frowning. It's not a sign of holiness. It's a disobedience to the word of God. You must be happy. You enter your office. They should know you for the smile on your face. Why? The word of the Lord said, rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. The express commandments. Then there are things I call testimonies. Testimonies are customized and personalized commandments. There are people that God says, don't go to certain places. Nothing wrong with going there. Like now, Samson. They told the mother, don't do this, don't do this while you are pregnant because of this boy. And you get my point? No razor shall touch his head because he's a prophet, he's a Nazarite. Razor touched David's head, you understand my point? And he was a man after God's heart. And that was not disobedience. But certain people are not allowed those days to have razors touch their head. Until today, there are things that are unique to your life. There are people that have divine commandment that on certain days they don't go out before 4 p.m. It is their own commandment. It's not Sabbath day. Their own may be Wednesday. And then there are things that the Bible now calls ordinances. For example, the communion table is an ordinance. Now, when you put all of this together, you find out that the word of God has a lot of areas. What it was saying in effect, for you to receive the blessing of God, you must follow God fully in every area. A lot of us these days, Christians, we see our churches, we are full of those who have come to follow promises. And you see them many times on the road. Any problem, I reject it in Jesus' name. The girl is a harlot. But every problem, what does she do? I reject it. Rejection is a promise. Are you getting my point? But there is a principle of righteousness she is not walking by. Many of us Christians, we are businessmen, we are businesswomen. We operate business the way everybody does in the market where we are. They say, you know, in Nigeria, if you don't give this kickback, they won't give you the contract. So, we hold on to the promise. He makes all grace abound towards me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, I abound to every good work. But in the area of business, this one is business. Are you getting what I'm saying? We flout commandments expressly. Things that are clear. But we hold on to promises. And the Bible tells us, and that's what I emphasized this morning, the promises are never fulfilled. And that's the reason why people supposedly serve God for a long time and they have nothing as a manifestation of the power of God in their lives to show for it. Yes, the thing you can see is a following of God, but it's not full, it's partial. So it's very diligent in praying and going to church. But you see something that Peter said. He said, verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, let me just start from verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where I want to apply this. You see a word there that says entrance. Now, when you see the word kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and of Jesus Christ is not something you find in heaven. The Bible says the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules how? Over all. Over all. Over all. The Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. Over all. Daniel said it clearly to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, the heavens rule in their fears of men. So when we're talking about the kingdom of God, it's not saying something you inherit when you die. It starts now. But in fact, Jesus said it like this: if I by the finger of God cast out demons amongst you, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That is, in life, there is what is called the kingdom of God, which we are all supposed to enter into. I don't have time to develop it now. But what I want to emphasize is the fact that he said an entrance will be supplied to you. Please listen to this. What that means is this. Let me give a good example, and I'll end with it. How many of us know Demos Shakarin? Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. Yes. Yes, the man is late now, all right? He was the one that started Full Gospel. I always recommend his book because it's such an instructive book to learn the principles of God from. The happiest people on earth. Anyway, as a young boy, I think his father was struggling. They had the promise of God that if they move across the oceans and go to that coast of what is now United States, all right, or the one we all know, they will prosper. But the young man, he came as a little boy with his parents. They were suffering. That is, this little boy is Demos Shakarin's father, all right? He was really struggling. Things were tough. Then he went to church and brethren prayed for him. And they opened the scripture to him. And they read it. That blessed shall you be in the fruit of the field. And they said to him, this is the commandment of God for you. Go and trade in the fruit of the field. So he began to sell fresh vegetables. Before that, he was working in a leather factory. And the dust from processing leather was killing him. His lungs were really shutting down. That was when he went to pray. He was struggling to take care of his mother and his sisters. He was an only boy. And their culture was that the other women could not work. That was their culture. But working that hard, he was going to die. So he went to church to pray. And the brethren gathered and they prayed. And they said to him, the commandment of God, I'm paraphrasing now to you, is go and deal in the fruit of the field. So he looked around and began to deal in vegetables. In a short while, he was very settled in business. After a while, he said, why don't we raise cattle? At the point, he had 1 million heads of cattle. That's how much God prospered him. Why did I tell that story? You see, an entrance into his kingdom was revealed to him. What was his own entrance? Go and trade in the fruit of the field. Please, I hope you're following my point. Now, there is no law that every Christian that wants to prosper in life will trade in the fruit of the field. In fact, Peter Daniels, he failed in business 3 times until the Lord, through many ways, revealed to him to go and trade in real estate. And that was where his own entrance was. You're getting the point I'm making here. Listen, so that this is what happens. You see, Peter said, when you've added all of these things to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, brotherly kindness, love, all of those things, he said, an entrance will be revealed to you. Many people have not entered into their kingdom. They are prospering a bit, but because they are not following God fully, they have not seen the entrance. So what they are experiencing in life is not actually the full thing that God wants them to experience. Why? Because they are following God only partially. Please, follow what I'm going to explain. So you see, they said the man served God for a long time. He had nothing to show for it. God said, no. He served me partially. He was good in going to church. For example, there are a lot of Christians who still think. I wrote a book on it titled How to Work for God. One day I went to the courts in Enugu for something. And one man who used to be a magistrate, he was now practicing law in private practice. He almost prostrated for me that day. He said he buys the book everywhere he goes. Why? Because I explained to people that a lot of Christians think that working for God is only working in church. They don't realize that when they go into their offices in civil service, it's the work of God. So they come to church, they pray hard. They do everything hard. But 9 o'clock, are you not going to work? Is it my father's business? Are you getting what I'm saying? We have a program tomorrow. Are you going to come? I won't just go to work. Well, no, I tell them I went to church. And you know, the work is more of, is not God's thing. So God said, even though he's following me one way, he's not following me fully. Because there are certain precepts that he's breaking every day. So he prays hard for prosperity. And the promise of God is available for that. But God says, I cannot reveal to him his entrance into my kingdom in that area. Why? He has not added perseverance. Are you getting what I'm saying? I tell you that godliness, that man Peter Daniels I was telling you about, he said godliness is good for business. I don't know what I'm going to say. That is, honesty is good for business. Some people think that honesty is for God. That godliness is that God will be happy. No, God said, if these things are not complete in your life, all the blessings you've been praying for all these years, that is why they have not been released to you. One example I like to give young women a lot of times, in fact, husbands and wives. As Christians, we like to pray so God will reveal who is our wife. For those of us who are the young people who are not married, me, I'm married, amen. I prayed my prayer. I finished praying it 13 years ago. I married this year to be 13 years I've been married. Like the chairman was saying earlier, yes, I have children. I have 4 of them. All right. In fact, it's one of the reasons why my wife couldn't come with me. Because part of it is that we don't have anybody to take care of them if both of us leave home. We're thinking we'll be able to do that, but it didn't work out. Part of it. All right. Now, so while some of us are praying, most of us believe that we have to pray that God will reveal it to us. And once it is revealed, we think erroneously, we think, but we are mistaken, that is guaranteed for success in marriage. The fact that God revealed to you, this is your wife, and this is your husband. So you see a brother who came and told you that God said to me, that sister is my own. And you pray with him and you agree. And he does what is necessary and the sister agrees. And they marry. 1 year after, they are asking you, please, so, Pastor, there's a scripture that says it is better to dwell alone in the corner of a roof than to be under the same roof with a contentious woman. You have to approve this separation. And you are wondering, I'm minding my time very well. If I bless you, you don't donate 5 extra minutes for me. Thank you. And you're wondering that, and some young people will now be saying that, he was saying God spoke to him. I didn't believe him. I did not believe him. How can God speak to you and your marriage is like this? God can speak to you and your marriage is worse than that. Because God spoke is one following. There are principles of the word of God that govern the way a wife should relate with her husband. And there are principles of the word of God that govern how a wife should, a husband should relate with his wife. And if you don't fulfill them, it will be as if Satan chose the wife for you. So people, they settle on praying to know the will of God. I don't have time now. You'll understand that what John meant when he said, if we ask according to his will, he was not talking about specifically knowing whether God says it is green or yellow. He was talking about a life of the will of God in which I don't ask things that God generally doesn't want people to have. I say, God, give me 25 billion naira so I will never have to pray again. That is out of the will of God. It's not the volume, but that you don't want to pray again for money from God because I won't give you. So sometimes people say that, I know this is God's will for my life. This is what marriage. And God said, I know too. Both of us know. The only problem is that having given you the will for your life, how are you running that wheel for your life? After all, who chose Jeroboam for Israel? Who did? The son of Solomon was Rehoboam. God removed the 10 tribes and gave over to Jeroboam. But God said, I will do the kind of punishment that Israel has ever seen upon the house of Jeroboam for the sin that he sinned and made Israel to sin. Why? Because having been made king according to the will of God, he built 2 high places so that Israel will not go again to Jerusalem. following God partially. The promise to put him on the throne was fulfilled. But to sustain him on the throne, it required that he understood the principles of God. And the last time I'm going to speak in this same this conference, I will talk about growth in grace. Because one of the things we must know as Christians is not good enough that I had a testimony 30 years ago. Are you getting my point? It's not. That I know God spoke to me to enter into this business 25 years ago. Why is it not prospering? God said, every trade has its commandments. Have you learned the commandments of your trade? Listen, let me say it again. Every trade has its commandments. Let me give an example. Preachers, now, I need to say it because it's common these days. Preachers are not allowed to charge for their services. Do you understand my point? It's a trade, it's a commandment of their trade. But some preachers are doing it now. This is how much I charge per day. A friend of mine organized a seminar. His friend, the preacher, said, this is how much I collect a day. And the guy said, don't worry now. We can't afford it. So I said to my wife and I were discussing. I said, I would like to tell that guy to go and tell his friend that he's making a mistake. He has to choose whether he's a business consultant or a preacher. Nothing wrong with being a business consultant. But choose. So that we will know who we are talking to. Each trade has what? Its commandments. No matter the promises, until I fulfill the commandments of my trade, the divine, because there are all kinds of blessings. God did not tell Adam, you will never eat again. He said, you will sweat before you eat. That's all he said. So there is a eating without sweating that is characteristic of the kingdom of God. So if I want to step into that, I must know the commandments of God for my trade. Like I said, there's a commandment of God concerning how I relate with my children. Why they used to say that a lot of preachers, their children don't make it as Christians, is because I've observed it. Most of them do not observe the commandments of God concerning their offspring. The man thinks if I leave home for 6 months preaching, it is okay. But God said, I gave Abraham a promise. For it to be fulfilled, he has to personally tutor his children. Any preacher that doesn't have time to tutor his children shouldn't bother having them. It's not compulsory. This marriage thing is not compulsory. Paul knew he wouldn't have that time. So what did he do? God gave him the grace. He excused himself. You can't be capsizing in boats and staying in the deep 3 times and being beaten all over the place when you have wife and children at home. It's true now. My wife wanted to follow me for this trip. Part of the reason why she don't come is that there are children. Somebody has to, in fact, they are not even at home now. Somebody has to receive them because they went for a family wedding. So when they come back, somebody must be waiting. There's nothing like, it is for the kingdom of God we have gone to preach in Botswana. And the children don't have a father, don't have a mother to take care of them. And you think they will believe. They will never believe. Your God is in competition with them for your attention. Each thing I said has its commandments. Each trade, each thing in life. The promises of God, they are real. For them to be manifested in our lives, we must learn how to follow God fully. We must. There are principles that guide the things we are doing. We must learn how to stick with those principles, obey them. Then, listen to this, you will begin to experience a kind of grace you did not know was available. I will continue developing some of these things in the subsequent sessions. My time is up now. Can we just bow down our heads and just say a word of prayer? Let's just say to the Lord, thank you for your word that has come for today. Reveal to me my own commandments, my own entrance, because the desire of my heart is to follow you fully. That's all I want to say this morning, because we're talking about the fulfillment of God's promises. I didn't complete what I was saying earlier about the nation. When Nebuchadnezzar prophesied that time, all of us went to pray. And when God heard it, we said the man is a false prophet. No, it doesn't work like that. The prophecies of God can be mitigated. If we don't do what is right, we don't see it. If it looks like judgment, we can avert the judgment by praying and by repenting. Repentance and prayer can avert the judgment of God. Let's not forget we are the light of God for this nation. I'll talk about that again for later. But this morning, just say, Lord, thank you for your word. Reveal to me the word that I need to follow. Reveal to me the areas in which I am not fully following your word. Reveal to me the things that I'm supposed to do that I am not doing. Reveal to me the commandments concerning my trade that I'm breaking. Reveal to me the ones I'm supposed to know and to obey. I desire to have your promises fulfilled in my life.